Today's words of wisdom will be presented in English with subtitles in Arabic, Olafsiz or Vietnamese, Chinese, Dutch, English, French, German, Hebrew, Hindi, Hungarian, Indonesian, Italian, Japanese, Korean, Mongolian, Persian, Polish, Portuguese, Punjabi, Romanian, Russian, Spanish, Thai, Turkish, and Urdu. More languages are available online. For your special language, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/subtitles. The United States of America, known as Land of the Free, Home of the Brave, has come to symbolize freedom throughout the world. People from all nations and from all walks of life have called the United States home. The United States has a deep affinity with Supreme Master Ching Hai. With her boundless love and compassion, Supreme Master Ching Hai has provided humanitarian assistance to many parts of the United States. In 1993, she sent relief teams to provide financial and material assistance to the victims of the six Midwestern states that were severely affected by heavy rain and flooding. Additionally, in the face of one of the worst human tragedies ever to occur on U.S. soil, on September 11, 2001, Supreme Master Ching Hai responded immediately, sending relief teams from around the country and all over the world to Ground Zero in New York City. To this day, Supreme Master Ching Hai continues to extend her loving compassion to all parts of the U.S. From Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, and Alabama, to California, Florida, Texas, Hawaii, and other states. We now invite you to listen to the following lecture by Supreme Master Ching Hai titled An Immediate Plan for Afterlife, given on May 28, 1989 in San Francisco, California, USA.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
If we want to become a Buddha, we have to follow the Buddha's road, the Buddha's method of enlightenment. So in the Buddhist scripture, the Surangama Sutra, Lăng Nghiêm Kinh, Kinh Lăng Nghiêm, Sakyamuni Buddha say, we have to practice the method of turning the hearing inward and hearing the inner nature, the self nature. How can we hear the inner nature? Then it must have some sounds. So exactly, we come to that point. Inner sound vibration we can hear, but without the ears. And to open the inner ears is a job of someone who knows how to open it. It is like to fly an airplane is a job of some pilot who knows how to fly it. He has learned it and he has been capable and he has obtained the permission to drive. Not only he can fly himself back home, but he can take along so many others with him. And so the same with a so-called master or enlightened saint, they can go home and they can take a lot of others who want to follow them. But to follow a master or to go on aeroplane, we must buy some ticket and get some money. Now to follow a master, you don't need any money, you don't need any ticket, but you need some virtues. And that is the money, that is the property of heaven. We want to go to heaven, we must use the virtues as a ticket. Therefore, an ethical life is emphasized in all kind of scriptures, by all kind of past, present, and even future master. No master who is worth his salt would teach people to lead an indulgent life in sensual pleasures. Because if you worship the flesh, then you cannot worship the spirit. You cannot worship God and Mammon at the same time. That's what the Bible say. No, in the Bible it also say, forsake the flesh for the spirit. Yeah? Those who abandon life will find it. That means we must sacrifice or we must control our life to some certain extent to measure up to the Buddha's or the heaven standard. It is just like people when they want to immigrate to America. They must be up to Americans' standard. Is that not so? And it is better when you could speak English. Then you must have a green card. All these conditions demand some disciplines from our part, demand some self-sacrifice. Yeah? We must sell our property in our country. We must learn to be disciplined like the Americans' way of life, and we must adjust ourselves to this kind of life. For instance, we drive a car and it's a little bit flying style, flying style. And the taxi, it go like this, in the highway, and then it go in 5 minutes and in no sight. Because he want to be in a hurry, he want to earn money. Here in America, a taxi couldn't go like that, no? For example, when a New Yorker come to California, he has to obey Californian rule. When I go to California, I feel so comfortable. Oh, everywhere I'm surrounded with sand, Santa Clara, San Jose, San Francisco. Oh, it is truly a saintly atmosphere. I feel so welcome, so relaxed, and all the cars have no black smoke behind. Oh, I love that. I love that. I feel it's so good for my health. If we want to become a Buddha or enter Buddha's land or the kingdom of heavens, we must be born again. Except you be born again, cannot enter the kingdom of God. What it means by born again? That means I die daily. How to die daily and be born again and yet living? Yes. Learn to die so that you may begin to live. How to die? Anyone know? Kill the ego? Yeah, that is right. But how to kill the ego? We don't only kill the ego, we truly die. We truly die in a physical way. We die for a moment or two. We die for a few hours, and then we go back to work. That's what it is by dying. And what happens when we die in this way? We don't die in an actual sense, but we are still connected with our physical body by the so-called silver cord. Only when we truly die, then the silver cord is broken. Our connection with the physical body is severe, and then you've gone for good. But only those who are enlightened and saved by enlightening themselves and by the God power within them can go forever. The other just go for some time, maybe to heaven, maybe to hell, maybe to the animals' clothing shop. Yeah, some shops are selling animal clothes. You can wear it for a few decades and then change it into human clothes. Understand? So now if we stray to those animal clothes shops, then we can wear animals' clothes for some time. Or we go to heaven, then we wear heavenly clothes. And when we go to hell, then we wear very hot clothes. So we hot fire, barbecue clothes. So we can barbecue for some time and then go back to human life again. So this is what happened to people who are unenlightened. The virtuous one will go to heaven. The so-called unvirtuous will go to hell. This is according to the Buddhist explanation. But we must not believe it, actually, if we don't want to. We can prove it ourselves by opening our wisdom eye. Therefore, people say we have the third eye, or the Buddha eyes, or an extra eye. Therefore, the Hindu custom, every morning they make devotion, then they put an eye on their forehead. And that is a custom before, to remind yourself to remember that I. Now we only have custom and no essence. Everybody heard about the third eye and the wisdom eye, and nobody know where it is. It is here, and nobody know how to open it. We can open it. I know how to open it. I can help you to open it yourself. If I can open mine, then you can yours. We are not physically any different. The wisdom eye are same from the just born infant to the 80, 90 years old man. Once it's open, it is the same. When it isn't open, it is also the same. It's just that we couldn't use it, that's all. It is like a magnifying glass. If you don't take it up, you can't see the small words. If you forgot where it is, then you are helpless. Even though you have eyes, you cannot see. Our wisdom eye, at the moment, is clouded with some obstructions made by our own ignorance and our previous deeds of unvirtuous actions. And now, to clean it, we need the hand of someone who knows. We need a great power from God. And this great power we have within us, we only have to open the tap and it runs out, like the water tank, full of water, but the tap is obstructed. And if the plumber, he comes and he clears it, or he changes into a new one, and then the tap is in order again. And you just open it, and the water comes rushing out. Because water is already there. The plumber won't give you water. It is the water already in the pipe. It just needs adjusting, repairing the tap. So, if you wish, I could repair the tap for you, free of charge and free of any condition. But on one condition, yes, you should purify your life. You should follow a virtuous diet. From today, we vow never to take life, flesh again, never to take any life, never to tell a lie, never to steal, exactly like the Ten Commandments of the Bible. Or the five Buddhist householder precepts. Don't kill, don't tell lie, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't drink alcohol or gambling or drugs, cigarette.
Some of the benefits of a vegetarian diet: lowers blood pressure, lowers cholesterol levels, reduces type 2 diabetes, prevents stroke conditions, reverses atherosclerosis, reduces heart disease risk 50%, reduces heart surgery risk 80%, prevents many forms of cancer. Stronger immune system, increases life expectancy up to 15 years. Higher IQ, saves 70% of a total cost of $40 trillion for reducing global warming. Uses 4.5 times less land to grow food. Conserves up to 70% clean water. Saves 80% of the cleared Amazonian rainforest from animal grazing. A solution for world hunger. Free up 3.4 billion hectares of land. Free up 760 million tons of grain every year, or half the world's grain supply. Consumes one-third fossil fuels of those used for meat production. Reduces pollution from untreated animal waste. Maintains cleaner air. Saves 4.5 tons of emissions per U.S. household per year. Stop 80% of global warming. Plus more. Save your life. Be veg. Go green.
We are to be intoxicated by God power and not by this cheap substitute. Before we are allowed to do that, or we may do that in ignorance because we are unhappy. We are craving for something. We don't know what is empty. It's so empty inside and we are unhappy. Despite all this money and civilized comfort, we feel somehow unsatisfied. So we look for a cigarette, we look for drugs, we look for gamble, we look for maybe what we call sex or whatever. In order to satisfy it, we think that will satisfy us. And the more we use them, the more we feel exhausted and empty and meaningless. So no one is truly happy after these things. So the more you take, the more you crave it, and the more you feel abused from body and mind. So the real intoxication will substitute all these and make you satisfied, and you won't want even that. You won't even want it. So many of my disciples smoking, drinking 50 years of their lives. Just come get initiation and nothing more. They just stop automatically. And God knows why. I know why. Because they're happy within. They're joyous. They found it. They found the joy. They found the true satisfaction that they have been always longing for, life after life. And now the time has come, they must get it in order to feel good and feel happy, be one with God, and go home. Other people, time is not up. They still have to run around in this life doing some of their mission or fulfilling whatever is need to be done for their part, for their evolution. And when the times come, they also will look for an enlightened master. They also will look for a true path, and then they also will go home. They also quit with all worldly attachment and desires. And to die means truly die. When we meditate, we may see heavens. That means you die. Only the dead one can go to heaven. Understand that? Yeah? The dead one go to heaven. So when we meditate, we may go to heaven, visit for a while, or we may go to Buddha land. Heaven is a little, I say it a little bit loosely. Actually, heaven are lower than the kingdom of God. People use it loosely. Heaven and kingdom of God is the same. It is because when Jesus goes around, people are used to with the word heaven. If he used other words like nirvana, nobody would understand. So in Buddhism, we use nirvana. If I go to the Buddhist, I say it is nirvana. But when I go to the Christian, I say it is the kingdom of God. Then people understand. Both means the same thing. Now when we visit these heavens or the most high kingdom of God, that means we die for a while. We leave our body and go to the blissful sphere. This is what it means by dying daily. We can die like that anytime we want and come back to life at will. We can control this. We can even control our heartbeat, control our breathing. Everything is done by us. So we can also go to heaven, go to Buddha's land at will. If we know how, if every day we practice. It is like we learn how to fly an airplane. And one day we fly to America just like that. Because we can. We have done it, we practiced it, and we are used to it. Okay? Now it's time for question. Thank you for your undivided attention. To have undivided attention is the real respect.
You mentioned that Saturday that some sects got a partial enlightenment that admit. Wouldn't this be a way for us Westerners?
You mentioned Saturday that some sects got partial enlightenment, mean a little bit of enlightenment only, yeah. That admit. Wouldn't this be a way for us Westerners and gradually do without meat? Oh, I understand. You want to bargain? Yes, then you go there. Yes? Go there and get partly enlightenment, if you ever get one. Even to be partly enlightened, you must find a partly enlightened master. And these are very rare even. Because those who eat meat and drink wine and mess up with worldly pleasure hardly can leave them. And if you can't leave these, then you can't go to kingdom of God. God demands undivided attention. If we worship meat, woman, and other things before God, then God leave us alone, okay? Enjoy. Yeah, God wants us alone. But the thing is, I don't mean you have to all become monks. Yeah? At least you don't have to become monks. You can still have wife and husband. Just lead a little bit chaste, control, sex life, and no other adultery. And that is easy to do, no? And now with the meat diet, if you can't leave meat, then meat can't leave you. Meat for the belly, and the belly for the meat, and God shall destroy them both. You remember that in the Bible? Yeah. Don't say I preach Buddhist doctrine. It is in your Bibles, say the same thing. And the Buddha forbid any kind of meat to the Buddhist practitioners. If you want to be partly enlightened, I may teach you also. Or you may go find this partly one. But it is difficult. Yeah? And then if I teach you in this way, I feel a little bit irresponsible. Why is it so? Because I feel I left you halfway. If you just practice at home with meat and with our master, sometimes you run into difficulty. Yeah? And then I could not completely help you out of this because you can't leave meat alone. And the meat will cause a lot of disturbance when we go higher in consciousness. A kind of a struggle, understand? If you want to go very high, it's good. Ah, it's terrible. What is good about eating meat, tell me? Huh? Don't you feel it is so bloody? Okay, think about it. Read my book about why we should be vegetarian, and then think about it again. Maybe next year or next life I come back and we will discuss about that. This is a long subject, so I could not really discuss here now.
Tên tôi là Diệu Bình, 63 tuổi. Tôi đã ăn chay trường được gần 7 năm. Hôm nay được gặp Thầy, tôi rất là mong muốn Thầy truyền âm tín cho tôi. Kính xin Thầy chấp nhận sự thỉnh cầu của tôi. Xin cảm ơn.
Okay, this woman, she is 63 years old and she has been vegetarian since 7 years. And she begged me for initiation. And she said, if I accept her, she thanks. And that's it. That's all there is. She wants to get initiation. Được, được. Không có vấn đề gì hết. Okay. Được, không sao. Ngày mai. Yêu sư là... 72 years old. Tôi là Bùi Thị Bản, 72 tuổi. Ăn chay lâu rồi, muốn được Thầy truyền tâm ấn. Phát nguyện từ nay trở đi ăn chay trường. Thiệt không? And she's old and she also wants to get initiation. She promised to be vegetarian from today. So I say, really, can you do that to switch so quickly, so old? She say, oh, no problem. Jesus told apostles it was okay to eat meat, that all that God created was good, that is, doesn't matter what we put in our body through our mouth, but what matter what we put in our spirit. So why is being a vegetarian a requisite for enlightenment? Nonsense. Isn't it eating vegetable like a ritual? No. Jesus, since a child, was a vegetarian. He was born in an ascetic family. It is like you were born in a Hindu caste. You eat vegetarian since childhood. It is like you were born in a true Sikh family. You also eat vegetarian since childhood. It also like you're born in a true Buddhist family. You eat vegetarian since childhood. And Jesus, in the Gospel, he say you could not eat meat. And even in the Bible, God say what? You remember? Who told you to kill the bullock to the she-goat and to make offer to me? Wash yourself from this innocent blood so I may hear your prayer. Otherwise, I will turn my head away because your hands are full of blood. He doesn't allow us to kill she-goats and he-goats to offer to God. How would he allow us to eat? He said, these are innocent lives. Repent yourself so I may forgive you. Didn't he say so in the Bible so? Did you read this part? No? Go back and read the Bible. And now, you only read what you want to read. And then the people twist it all around. The same with the Buddhists. In the Buddhist Bible, it is mentioned again and again in many where you never can eat any sentient beings meat. And then you see most Buddhists also say, I am a Buddhist and eat meat. So what can we say about this? No, nothing. So you follow what you think is compassionate way. You follow what you think pleases God. God created, don't kill. Everything dies naturally. So if we force life to end abruptly, we take the right from God. Understand that? Only God has the right to kill. We can't create anything while we kill. Jesus did not say that. Jesus said, don't care. I mean, don't bother much about what you eat and what you clothe. God will look after you. That's what he means. What he means is that his disciples should not worry so much about material comfort, but should surrender to God, and God will take care of you. Therefore, he also say, seek you first the kingdom of God, and all other things shall be added unto you. That's what it is. Jesus never tell you to eat meat. He eat vegetarian since a child. Besides, he go to India for some 10 more years, 19 years or something, according to the research. And when he go to India, he learns with all Hindu yogis and Buddhist monks, and these are vegetarian from birth. You must know. Even if Jesus eat meat, when he followed these people for 10 some years, he could never go back to the meat diet again. I'm sorry if you miscalculate this. Now you read too little, that's the problem. You only choose the meat lines and forget the vegetarian line. Question number two, Jesus said he sent us one comforter, the Holy Spirit. He did not say he sent us many men as comforters. He didn't say one. So why is it said that Buddha or other masters are Christ or comforters sent by Jesus? No, Jesus was born after Buddha. So if we say it is sent, mean the Buddha sent Jesus. Jesus was younger than Buddha. I'm sorry, you're really wrong. Buddha not sent by Jesus, because Jesus was born after Buddha. But anyhow, they are all the same. Please don't argue about this point. God sends many comforters, not only Jesus. Before Jesus, there were Elias, there were many saints. Therefore, when somebody asked Jesus, are you the reincarnation of such and such past master, like Elias, like so and so? Jesus didn't say anything that he wasn't. He accepted by silence. Understand? So before Jesus, there were master, and after Jesus, there will be master. Before Buddhas, there were Buddhas. After Buddhas, there will be Buddhas. God sends Buddhas, God sends Jesus. Not that Jesus sent Buddhas. Anyhow, Jesus is a little bit younger. Number three, are all babies reincarnated souls? What do you think they are? Yes? If they're not reincarnated souls, or what are they? Reincarnated stone? Number four, how does reincarnation work? Does a soul that wants to be reincarnated wait for a woman to get pregnant? It is like this. A soul can be reincarnated when his merit is complete for a human standard. To be born as a human being, you must have a very virtuous life in the life before. Or you have already paid all the bad sins that you have done previously. Now, to be born as a human being, you have to possess the human qualities. Like you are not killing, you're not committing adultery, you're not stealing, you're not lying, you're not gambling, drinking, drugging in the last life. And then this life, you come back, straight away you're born as human again. But if last life you did something wrong according to these five precepts, then you are not born as a human. Now, before a child is born, a soul is resting in some intermediate place. And then when the course is ripe, when a woman and a man has some affinities with this baby soul, then he can come. Not before that. Yeah? All the condition has to be correct. You can't just go and be a son of anyone or a baby of anyone. So all of us, family members, are connected by cause and effect and condition for many lives. According to Buddhism, you don't need to believe me. Okay. Oh, yeah, another one. Or does the soul look at all the pregnant women and decide which he wants to be born from? Yeah, I already say. Or does a person get pregnant because a soul wants to get reincarnated? Yeah, I said already, all the cause and condition has to be ripe altogether. Yeah? And this decided by what? By the karma, or the so-called cause and conditions in the previous life. This book of life, or karma, we can read when we go to a certain level of enlightenment, the second world. There we have a library. We can get the books of life from everyone and know where he come from, who is affinity with, and what his future life is. But for the one who practice enlightened method, the Guan Yin method that I may teach you, he don't reincarnate again, except he is willing to do so by his own will for some purpose, to help others.
This one wants to know how old you are. And is it necessary to meditate 2.5 hours every day, and why?
It is necessary. Yeah? How old I am, you can never guess. Can you say it? How old? The questioner may guess. Huh? Oh, so young? 18? 38? Yeah. Something like that. Yeah, in that way. Yeah. Okay. Now that doesn't matter. That's only the age of my physical body. I'm as old as the world, and as young as have never been born. Now we have to meditate 2.5 hours, because it is necessary to cleanse our soul, our infected areas, with a lot of elixir. Now if you are dirty from all day work, you come home, you need 2 gallons, no less. Every day we mix in the world and infected by others, and affected by everyone around us, and by our own unavoidable misdeed. For example, we breathe, we kill a lot of invisible beings. We eat vegetable, we kill vegetarian life. Understand? Or we may step on worms and ants and wash our hands. Disinfecting kills a lot of invisible life. Understand? So these 2.5 hours is 2 gallons of water to wash our soul. Understand that? If you wash with 1.5 gallons, it's also okay. It's not completely clean. Then tomorrow you add again some more dirt, and then you only clean with 1 gallon. So every day you're not completely clean. And you may smell one day.
You mentioned that only God has the right to kill. Can you please elaborate on this? Thank you.
Yes, because God created everything. He knows when a soul should change the clothes, not we. Understand? It's like you're working for a company, and your boss is the one who decided which machine is good, complete, and can be sold out with a good price, which machine have defect and had to be broken up again and made it up in another form. Understand? You cannot do that. If you do it by yourself, you do it wrong, or you think this machine is not complete, okay, I take it home. Then you committed a working mistake, your boss will kick you out, or fire you, or make you pay for money. Yeah? That's the thing.
When I'm aware of my discontent and long to know a master or guide, how will I come to meet one that can help me and satisfy my emptiness? Also, do I have to come to the point of complete despair before this will happen?
It happened already. When you are ready, the master will come. It's always like that. Not before. But if you think you're not sure, then go home and pray to God. Please make me feel sure. Who is the one I may follow? Whom shall I follow? But I have said already, how to recognize a master. A master would not take anything from you for his or her own living. He gives and she gives everything free of charge. Only service and no demand. Then you lose nothing from the beginning anyhow. You don't fear anything. Now the second sign to recognize a master is that she or he can give you the Bible or the scripture mention enlightened experience. Yeah? If an enlightened person can see heavenly light like a flame, can hear the God voice like thunder, then at least your master must be able to give you this kind of basic experience. Then you know he or she is a real master. Otherwise, how do you know? Everybody can write down here, I'm a master. Everyone can say he's a millionaire, never show you any money. The real master, not only she or he has to be enlightened, he or she must give you also enlightened experience in 1 minute or two. That is a sign of a competent master, okay?
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try it alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
Open-minded viewers, we thank you for your warm-hearted presence for today's episode of Words of Wisdom. Join us again tomorrow for the conclusion of An Immediate Plan for Afterlife. Coming up next is Golden Age Technology After Noteworthy News. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television. May heaven's blessing be bountiful in your everyday life.
For more details, please see www.suprememastertv.com/WOW.